The 90s were a much different time than now. On the brink of an internet takeover, life was still simple and people were prospering. Yet, a scandal halted America in its tracks less than 2 years before the turn of the decade. It was an infamous affair that will always define the Clinton presidency. A 22-year-old White House intern fell victim to the most powerful man in America. It's time we rewrote this story not to show Clinton as a glorified and innocent man, but to show the intolerable and despicable things he did while in office. I need to give a fair warning. I will be going into graphic detail about the acts between Lewinsky and Clinton in order to give insight into the extent and nature of this relationship. The terms will be derogatory, but straight from Kenneth Starr's report. Thank you for listening to the Chronicles of Time. I'm Rachel Payton. Let's dive into the Clinton-Lewinsky affair. It was a hot July summer when a young 21-year-old Monica Lewinsky would start her internship at the White House under the Chief of Staff. The year was 1995, and she would be working under the handsome Southern President, Bill Clinton. The President had been in office for over 2 years at this point. The known ladies' man had been in a bit of hot water for some time now. Before he was even elected President, he had admitted to having a 12-year affair with a woman named Jennifer Flowers. Despite this, it seems as both Hillary and the American people were willing to forgive him in hopes he'd learn from his mistakes. But another woman came out in 1994 with a story of her own. Paula Jones was a government employee for the state of Arkansas who claims in 1991 she was invited into a Little Rock hotel room where she met with then-Governor Clinton. According to her, after conversation, Clinton exposed himself and asked her to kiss it. In May of 94, she would sue then-President Clinton. Unfortunately for Jones, she was ridiculed by both the public and the media. She was accused of trying to gain publicity and recognition. President Clinton also tried to argue that a sitting president was immune to lawsuits such as Jones's, prolonging the case. In the midst of the lawsuit, the president still must run the country. During a departure ceremony, the president was shaking hands on the White House lawn when he locked eyes with Miss Lewinsky. For months forward, they would continue this intense flirting. On November 14th, the government shut down due to conflicts between President Clinton and the Republican Congress regarding funding. Due to being unpaid, the interns were allowed to keep working. The following day, on the 15th, would unknowingly go down in history. This is the day that the president kissed Monica Lewinsky. Lewinsky was taking calls in the chief of staff's office while the shutdown was going on. During a restroom break, she passed an office on her way back, and the president, who was in the office alone, motioned her to enter. After a shy interaction, Monica admitted that she had a crush on him. Clinton then proceeded to ask her if she wanted to see his private office. In his office, the two both admitted that they were attracted to one another. At this point, he asked her if he could kiss her, and of course she says yes. The two went their separate ways after that, but only for a brief moment. Not even 2 hours later, the president asked her if she wanted to join him in his study. This time, it would be much more than a kiss. The president began touching and kissing Lewinsky's breasts, but was interrupted by calls. While talking to two members of Congress, Monica was simultaneously performing oral sex on him. When I say my jaw was on the ground whenever I read this, I truly had no words. 2 days after the initial encounter, Monica brought the president pizza late one night and they had a repeat of before, congressmen on the phone and all. It was during this rendezvous that the president told her that he is there on the weekends when no one is around. The two would go on to have more sexual encounters between the months of December through March. But like any affair with the president of the United States, there will be bumps. On February 19th, Clinton called Lewinsky at her Watergate apartment. After noticing something was off, Monica went to the White House to speak to Clinton. While the two were in the Oval Office, Clinton put an end to the relationship, claiming it no longer felt right. The breakup was short-lived, though. Throughout their time apart, they would resort back to having a flirtatious relationship. This eventually led the two right back to before. On March 31st, just a little over a month since separating, the pair reunited. During their reconnection, some extremely scandalous events occurred. The President of the United States inserted a cigar into Miss Lewinsky near the Oval Office. He proceeded to smoke it, saying, "It tastes good. If you're uncomfortable, you are not alone." Questions from staff were circulating on the nature of their relationship. Secret Service was asking why an intern was frequenting the West Wing. The solution to this problem would be to get rid of Monica, simply send her away. So, on April 5th, 1996, a worried chief of staff did just that. She was to be transferred to the Pentagon to work with the Secretary of Defense. Monica was beyond devastated with the transfer. In my personal opinion, this was a cop-out to protect the president from getting linked to any scandal, simply because he didn't have the self-discipline to stop himself from having an affair. She told Clinton of her departure on Easter Sunday. Keep in mind, this decision wasn't made by Bill, yet for Bill. It was election year, and it was crucial that he won a second term. Clinton had promised Lewinsky a job at the White House again once the election was over. This would give her hope for the following months. For the remainder of 1996, which was around 8 months, Lewinsky and Clinton would continue their sexual contact solely over the phone. In fact, they did this on 10 to 15 occasions. During this time, Monica was attempting to adapt to her new life at the Pentagon. Unfortunately for Monica, she wasn't adjusting well. She would keep sane by keeping a calendar countdown to Election Day, until she would work with the president again. The other thing keeping her functioning were her talks with her newfound friend, Linda Tripp. Tripp worked in the White House for over 2 decades, but was transferred to the Pentagon during Clinton's first term. The odd pair of Monica and Linda had 24 years between them, but they seemed to hit it off. Monica would rave about returning to the White House once the election was over, claiming her boyfriend worked on the election. Tripp was growing suspicious that Monica was talking about our president with wondering eyes as her dear boyfriend. In order to get the truth out of Monica, Tripp would always be at ear to listen. This paid off when, after Clinton was reelected, Lewinsky admitted to her affair with the president when she was ranting about having not returned to the White House weeks after he had won. Unknowingly to Monica, Linda was taking all the information she was receiving and giving it to a book agent. Lewinsky completely let her guard down and was taken advantage of. A lost, vulnerable, and impressionable girl who was looking for advice was being played a fool by nearly every person that she trusted. Tripp had Monica convinced that the president was committed to her the same way she was to him, and explaining to her how she was different than any of his other past relationships. Although this wasn't the case, it didn't matter. Tripp was willing to go to any extreme to convince Monica of such. As 1997 rolled in, Monica was still focused on securing a job at the White House. She was invited to watch the president do a weekly radio address, which she happily went to. She wore a navy dress from the Gap that would in the coming years come back to haunt her. After the show, the president and Lewinsky went into his private study. This was their first time alone in nearly 11 months, and during his visit, Clinton gave Monica a rare copy of Walt Whitman's Leaves of Grass, which is a rather sensual and intimate book. But here's the kicker. Clinton also gave this book to Hillary when they were younger. But Monica is different, right? After gifting the book to her, the two went on to have a sexual encounter. This time was different for one key reason. This was the first time the president orgasmed in front of Lewinsky. But he had made one crucial mistake. He left remains on her dress. And the one person who told her to keep the dress in her possession? Linda Tripp herself. On March 29th, they would have their last sexual contact. The president phoned her and told her that he had important things to discuss and to come visit. Once Monica was with the president, he kissed her mid-sentence and the two became intimate. After that, the president warned Monica that he believed his phones were being tapped and told her to always deny a relationship between them. In May, Bill began asking Monica if she had told anyone about them, including her mother. She reassured him that she hadn't, even though she had indeed. Word was getting out about the nature of their relationship and it needed to be stopped, but it was much too late at this point. Clinton put an end to the relationship on the 24th of May, saying that he had hundreds of affairs early in his marriage, but since turning 40, he had made an effort to be faithful. A terribly failed attempt. After months, the Supreme Court had an answer. Paula Jones was allowed to continue her case against the president. This is where things truly begin to get messy. Although Lewinsky continued to see the president throughout the following months, it was purely as friends. The two would often exchange gifts. Some gifts given by Monica to Bill includes ties, a cigar holder, a letter opener, and antique books. Gifts from Bill to Monica are a blanket, hatbands, and 2 brooches. The president would frequently wear the ties she gifted him in public. As the Jones case continues on, Monica tells Tripp she will deny the affair no matter what. Later that same day, Linda Tripp tells Paula Jones's lawyer about the affair between Monica and the president. This triggers Lewinsky to then appear on Jones's witness list. But Lewinsky herself wasn't even aware she was on the list until 12 days after it happened. All the while, Monica is still attempting to secure a job at the White House, but gets devastating news when Linda tells her that there are rumors circulating about her and how she would never work again in the White House. This absolutely infuriated and humiliated Lewinsky to the point where she wrote the president a letter stating she is aware her return to the White House won't be happening, so she wants him to get her a job in New York City. Clinton assigned his personal friend with well connections, Vernon Jordan, to assist in Lewinsky's job search. Ultimately, he would go on to get Lewinsky a lawyer when she was subpoenaed for a deposition. The subpoena also stated to bring items gifted to her by the president, as well as letters and telephone records between them. During their final ever visit, the president continued to give Monica gifts, even in the midst of being subpoenaed. Rather than give the gifts to the court, Betty Currie, the president's secretary, put a box of gifts given to her by Monica under her bed, hidden away. The year of 1998 would unknowingly at the time bring global recognition to Monica Lewinsky. The year started out by, on January 10th, signing a false affidavit in an attempt to get out of the deposition. One person who wasn't able to get out of a deposition was the president himself. On January 17th, he adamantly denied having any sexual relations with Miss Lewinsky. The Washington Post was the first of the mainstream press to cover the scandal. The nation was in chaos over the news. 4 years before, in the year of 1994, a lawyer by the name of Ken Starr was assigned independent counsel to investigate the Whitewater scandal, a land deal that had went bad while Clinton was governor. Since Starr was finding absolutely nothing during his efforts in Whitewater, he was appointed to investigate the Lewinsky matter instead. It was the great Linda Tripp who called Starr to inform her of the affair. In the meantime, Clinton went on national television declaring his innocence in an infamous plea. "I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky." But here's the kicker. He wasn't just lying to the American people. He was also lying in court, ultimately committing perjury. He lied during his grand jury testimony 3 times. Monica was facing up to 27 years in jail, and her mother was also being threatened with jail time if Monica didn't cooperate. On July 28th, she reached an agreement with the Office of the Independent Counsel to trade cooperation for immunity. It was on the following day when the infamous blue dress would be given as evidence. When tested, it came back as a positive match for Clinton. This was a great revelation in the case, as well as tapes from Linda Tripp. Tripp had secretly been recording her conversations with Lewinsky for months and giving it to her lawyer. Clinton decided to come clean on August 17th. He once again went on national television, but this time to admit he had an inappropriate relationship with Miss Lewinsky. Less than a month after the president's confession, Congress received Starr's report on the investigation he had been working a total of 4 years on. The report had a nearly $55 million budget and scarcely mentions Whitewater. After reading the Starr report, the House of Representatives votes to begin an impeachment inquiry. By December, they have their answer. They approve 2 articles of impeachment, one for committing perjury and one for obstruction of justice. On the 19th, our 42nd president is impeached by the House of Representatives, making him the 2nd president to be impeached at this time. The difference between Clinton's impeachment and Andrew Johnson's in 1868 was that it made it to the Senate. After 5 weeks, the Senate voted to acquit the president, and he would remain in office to finish out his 2nd term. And finally, after years of battling, the Paula Jones case is settled by Clinton paying $850,000, but no apology from him. The media completely slaughtered Monica while the scandal was unfolding, and even years after. She was called a slut and a whore who was throwing herself on the president. Her entire life was damn near ruined because she would always be associated with the girl who had an affair with Bill Clinton. Her reputation was tarnished, but Clinton's was not. Yes, the scandal was associated with him, but he was never blamed for it in the way that Lewinsky was, in my opinion. What was so different about his affair with Monica compared to the various others? He had admitted to the public of having cheated in his past, so why go so far to commit perjury to deny a current affair? He was already elected for his 2nd and final term, so it's not as if he would lose another election. Whatever the reason, the world now knows way too much information about the affair between Clinton and Lewinsky. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode on the Clinton and Lewinsky affair. If you enjoyed, please leave me a review or email me any comments, questions, or recommendations at thechroniclesoftimepodcast@gmail.com. As always, I'm Rachel Payton, and you just listened to the Chronicles of Time.